Last week, Pastor Scott did a first in the series of our Christmas called Following the Star. We are looking at how God directed those who were involved in the advent of Jesus. And in looking at those stories afresh, look to see what we can learn from their experiences. For many years now, as you can imagine, if I'm 38 or 9 years in ministry, that means there's 38 or 39 Christmases. You do your best to keep that whole thing fresh. And I just want to say to us this morning, I know we all know the stories, or at least portions of the story, but I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how well you know the story, if you really spend time meditating on it, God will show you something fresh. There's something fresh there for us, and I encourage you to do that. What happened in these people's lives ended up utterly changing history, and as probably most of you have heard before, history is really His story. It's God's story. He's writing His story as the world unfolds. So in Pastor Scott kicking off our series last week, he talked about we're using the star, or the light, if you will, as a metaphor for God's guidance in our lives. How He leads us, how He guides us as we navigate our way on this journey. And last week, Pastor Scott went on to remind us of how God sovereignly guided Zechariah and Elizabeth in their part of the Christmas story. Today, I'd like to draw your attention to the main character concerning the coming of Christ. Her name, of course, is Mary. Before we take a look at her account, I would like to remind you of the context that all of these stories take place in. Mary lived at a time when, for decades, Rome had been at war with the nations around them, including Israel. But at this juncture, Israel found itself under Roman rule, and to some extent, under a time of peace. It was called Pax Romana. And Rome brought some stability, if you will, but it was all not true peace, right? I mean, as Israel, if you are under the control of an occupying government, there is still no rest in your souls, right? You don't have the true peace that God looks for and comes to offer us. The politics of the day were corrupt. there was limited protection from government, especially if you weren't a Roman citizen. Caesar Augustus, emperor of Rome at the time, brought some stability, but with it came incredibly high taxes. So stability, but you don't have any money, right? So I tell you all that to say this. It was, according to God's timing, it was just the right time to unleash the next installment of His salvation plan. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "But when the right time came, God sent His Son." When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman. God said this time of occupation and unrest, this time is the right time to bring about the next stage in My plan. This is the world into which Mary conceived and brought forth her firstborn son. Last week we were made aware of how God goes about giving guidance to those who are His. He starts by using His word as our primary source. He then reveals Himself in a sometimes naturally, sometimes supernaturally. He shows himself to us in ways that are meaningful to us personally. And finally, he causes the circumstances of life to line up according to his will. And last week, Pastor Scott said to us, he used that analogy of the three harbor lights, the three lighthouses lining up to guide us into a particular harbor. All right, in regards to Mary, she was most assuredly a teenager when this annunciation takes place. It is likely that she's not from the upper class economically, or even well educated by the standards of the time. But we are told, and this is why she qualified these things I'm about to tell you, she had the right spiritual pedigree. She was of the tribe of Judah, which qualified her to be the potential mother for the long-awaited Messiah. And she also met the prophetic threshold of being a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. But the one thing that would be easy to overlook, and quite frankly, I've never seen it until I was assigned this passage to talk to you about, the one thing that would be easy to overlook is that she had God's word hidden in her heart. Now, you may ask, how do you know that? How do you know that she had God's word in her heart? Well, it's easy. I just read what she said. I want to read it to you, and it's my first point this morning. Mary lived in the light of God's word. Now, usually when we're talking about her account of this story, we begin reading in verse 26. I'm in Luke chapter 1, by the way. Luke chapter 1, we usually start the story reading verse 26, but I want to skip over that. We'll come back to it in just a second. And I want to take you to verse 46. And what we find here, starting in verse 46, is what is called Mary's song. Mary's song. You may know it by the title, the Magnificat, right? Which means it's a proliferation. Did I say it right? Proliferation. All right, it simply means a proliferation of praise, okay? Magnificat, it's Latin for a lot of praise, right? That's what that means. So I want to start there. Listen to what Mary says. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will be blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." So there is this overflow of praise that is taking place in Mary's song, in Mary's heart. It is the abundance of what's in her heart that is pouring out. Now, I said to you, the point is, Mary lived in the light of God's word. What we have here in these few verses is what's called a pearl string of Scripture, a pearl string of Scripture. Now, this morning, I went to my wife a couple days ago and I said, "Sweetheart, can I borrow a set of your pearls?" She said, "I don't have any pearls. I don't have any pearls, fake or otherwise. I don't have any. You weren't dropping a hint for Christmas or anything, were you? No, she wasn't. So this morning, I decided as soon as Dollar General opened up, I would go over and buy a fake set of pearl thing. Well, I went to the clerks there at the store and I said, "Hey, where is your costume jewelry?" Thinking that I could come up with a set of pearls real quick, you know, just like that, boom. And she said, "We don't have any." I'm like, Dollar General doesn't have any fake jewelry? I mean, what are you here for? I mean, I'm a guy asking for pearls, right? Yeah. She said, but, she said, "We have the stuff. You can make your own." I said, "Well, take me there." So she followed me down this aisle. We found them. There they were, a bag of pearls and wire to wire them onto. Now, I know some of you don't know me that well, but I shake like a leaf, right? You know that little hole in the thing? So all morning long, I've been next door. I've been threading these things, right? I only dropped like a dozen pearls all over the ground. I'm like, where'd they go? So I'm over there making this necklace for our purposes this morning. And I get down to where I've got 3/4 of it done. And Lisette walks in and she looks, and it isn't often you see a man threading pearls, making a necklace, right? And she's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, for my sermon this morning, I need to make this pearl necklace because my wife doesn't have one. Let me." No, I didn't go into the whole story. But anyways, so she said, "Well, I have a set of pearls. They're actually real pearls that my mother had. So here is a beautiful, beautiful set of real pearls." And you know, when I look at them, I can't tell whether they're real or not. I look at these here that I made, and I don't know. Can you tell? You can tell. Well, I found out something interesting this morning. My lovely daughter kind of caught wind of what was going on, and she said, "Let me see those pearls to see if they're real or not." I said, "Well, how would you know whether they're real or not?" And she took them and she put them against her teeth. I'm like, "You eat them and that's how you find out?" And she said, "Well, anyways, they're real. They're really real." And then she took the fake ones and she said, "Ah, they're fake." And I'm like, "Yeah, I got them at Dollar General, right? They ain't selling real pearls over there, I can tell you that." So anyways, you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is up with the pearl thing? And I want to wear them, right? I want to put them on. But, the only one I can remember wearing pearls regularly was Klinger on MASH. It was Klinger. You remember Klinger? And Klinger didn't wear just pearls, if you remember. Remember? And in light of today, I don't think I want to pull that off, especially for those watching online. We don't want to start anything, get anything started, right? So I'm going to refrain from wearing them. I'm not going to wear the pearls this morning. Now, what Mary did in those few verses was she pearl stringed together out of her knowledge of God's word in the Old Testament. She took different references. She took different occasions. She took different inferences in the Old Testament. And that became what she spoke out to the Lord in praise. God's word was in not just her head, but it was in her heart. One of the passages she borrowed from, and you can find all that. All you've got to do is, if you have a Bible, most Bibles have cross references All you got to do is read the part that she said, and it'll tell you what verse to go into the Old Testament to find out where that came from, right? That's all Mary did, was regurgitate God's word back to God in praise. So it tells me that as Mary lived her life, you know, she didn't start to learn scripture after the angel showed up, right? Oh, I better start learning the Bible. No, this was already well entrenched in her heart. And after all that she went through, and it came that moment to give glory to God, she simply out of her heart began to exalt God through references, stories. One of the stories she borrowed some of her words from was the story of Hannah becoming pregnant with Samuel in the Old Testament. And she borrowed words from Hannah's praise way back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before she's dealing with her moments. She borrowed from, in the Mary song here, you will hear direct quotes and references from Psalm 22, Psalm 44, Psalm 103. And while Mary may have had a mixed bag of emotions in light of what was taking place in her life at that moment, at the foundation of all of her emotions is this abiding faith in the word and the promises of God. Her heart was prepared. Listen, that's why I want to convey to you this morning. Her heart was already prepared for when God showed up to speak the words he spoke over her. She didn't get caught by surprise and in the sense that, oh, I've never heard of anything like this before. Her heart was already full of the word of God, full of the history of Israel, full of God himself, the presence of God, and out of the abundance of her heart, her mouth began to speak. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that like Mary, you and I are best positioned for God to guide us and work through us when we have his word abiding in our hearts. You know, people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. And I wonder sometimes, are you, and I know we all have things in our life that we're, you know, we're having to definitely take steps of faith about, because we don't always see all the breadcrumbs God's putting out there. But what I want to say to you is sometimes if you're lacking in the department of trying to sense God's direction in your life, oh, I would behoove you to spend time before you get to that moment investing yourself in the word of God so that his word is in your heart. And when those moments arrive, you have that to hold you. You have that to keep you. You have that to help direct you as you move forward. God called Noah to build the ark before it started raining. Many, many years before God opened up the heavens and under the earth and water began to flow, he had Noah start to build the ark way ahead of time. So he was prepared in the moment, right? For us, you're walking away thinking, oh, what's Pastor Jeff asking me to do? Build a boat? No. I'm asking you to invest yourself in the word of God, so that when those moments come that you need God's guidance, you've already got a foundation of understanding about who he is. That's why I'm saying, many years ago, I don't remember what class I was teaching, but I taught what's called the 6P principle. Right now is when you want to grab your pen and pencil. Pen and pencil right now, 6 P's, right? And this is where Mary was at. She was able to receive what Gabriel was saying to her because she was a 6P woman. Ready? Proper, prior, planning. Proper, prior, planning prevents poor performance. Mary's heart, you need me to say it again? Proper, prior, planning, planning, prevents poor performance, right? I just looked over here, I saw a wrestler. And the whole point of wrestling, or not the whole point, but you're going to do much better on game day if you put in the time practicing ahead of time. For you and I, in light of us needing God's direction in our life, which we do, we're much better off, we're better positioned if we are taking time to exercise His word in our lives before that moment of having to know, which way am I supposed to go here? What do I need to do? If His word is in our hearts, it's a much better place for us to be. God knew that Mary was a person who walked in the light of His word. I don't even think it's a stretch to say that Mary lived her life in such a way that she understood the presence of God before the Holy Spirit was ever poured out. Everything she did, whatever, wherever she was, Mary understood that she was walking in the presence of God. And if that's not enough, the angel that came to her testified to that very fact. The angel said, "The Lord is with you." I tend to think, you know, when I read that initially, I tend to think, okay, the Lord has showed up right here, right now. But I think it's bigger than that. I think the Lord was with her before the angel ever showed up. The Lord is with you. You have been practicing His presence. The Lord is with you. Mary held God in her heart by faith before she ever held Him in her womb or with her hands. Mary had Him in her heart, had His word in her heart. This very fact enabled her to handle God's spiritual manifestation in her life without her going off the rails. If she would not have had the word of God in her heart, this is an off-the-rail moment. You understand that? I know we all know the story and we know how it ended. But an angel shows up and tells you you're going to conceive supernaturally. Try telling that to your neighbor, right? Point number two. Mary not only received or walked in the light of God's word. Point number two, Mary received the light of supernatural revelation. This is the part of the story that we're most familiar with. I want to start it now. It's in verse 26. In the sixth month, by the way, that sixth month there, if you go back and read a few verses earlier, it's actually part of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, they get pregnant with God's help, and the story unfolds that if you read a few verses before that, that Elizabeth stayed in isolation for 5 months. That's what it says. Then it says, in the sixth month, meaning the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked. The angel said, "Since I am a virgin." The angel said, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. This is the part of the story, as I said, that people tend to focus on. In Mary's case, God used an angel to bring about his intended outcome or his intended announcement. Throughout the Old Testament, God often used angels to bring about his purposes and plans. I just want to state for the record, you and I find ourselves living at a time after the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And Jesus taught us that now the Holy Spirit's job is to bring direction and revelation. In fact, in John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. One is direction, and the other is about revelation. But regardless of how God chooses to direct us, there are some things we can learn from Mary's experience here so that we are prepared when God shows up and shines his light supernaturally in our lives. Some things to glean from what I just read to you. Number A, I'll call it A since we already got one. A, Mary did not freak out. That's just layman's terms right there. Mary did not freak out. Now, I do know it says there that she was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, I think it's safe to say that all of us would be a bit startled at the very least if anybody showed up unannounced, but particularly an angel popped out of nowhere in the corner of the room where you thought you were alone. So we've got that just that natural what's going on here kind of moment. But what you need to know is deeper than that, because in the Old Testament, when an angel showed up to people of old, it was usually to announce God's judgment. That God's going to do something adversely in the land, right? So Mary, knowing a lady of the word, a woman who walked in the word, she's got to think, what did I do that warranted an angel showing up to pronounce judgment? And quickly, the angel assures her that this is not about judgment, but that she has found the favor of God on her life. And I don't know, when I read it, I can almost see Mary relaxing at that point. Like she knows, okay, thunder and lightning's not, it's not coming my way. Something else is going on, and I can just see her relaxing in that moment. So letter A, Mary did not freak out. She didn't go ballistic. B, she walked in the light of God. Because she walked in the light of God's word, she carried with her an understanding of the promises of God. And in particular, she knew the promise of the coming Messiah. The angel simply reminded her using prophetic promises of Scripture from the Old Testament in this supernatural visitation. These were not unknown to her. Remember what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of things I have said. This is essentially what the angel did as he spoke to her. He reminded her, he also pearl-stringed together some passages from the Old Testament that Mary would have been familiar with. So it's almost like God's word was confirming God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, what God had spoken of in the Old Testament, the angel is simply reminding Mary, who is familiar with the Old Testament, what God's word said. Now, Mary did indeed pose a question to Gabriel. But it's not one of revelation. She wasn't questioning the revelation. The question she poses is one of I don't know how to say this on a Sunday morning. Her question is, I have not participated in the act to produce a child. It's a matter of process, not revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Zechariah, as Scott talked to us about last week, his questions had question about matters of revelation. Here, Mary is not questioning what the angel is telling her. She simply doesn't understand the process. All right? So she is a woman who understood the promises of God as it related to the coming Messiah. And then finally, let her see, Mary submits herself to the supernatural light she has received. Verse 38, it says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now, I want you to notice here, Mary's getting a download of direction, right? She's the favor of God is on her. The angel is giving her details about what's about to unfold here. And I want you to notice that Mary, it doesn't say Mary went out and tried to make it happen. It's not what it says. In fact, the original Greek says it this way, may it be done to me according to the word of you. It's your word. You are what's Mary saying here? Mary's saying here, she's making herself available. She's submitting herself to God and to the word of that the angel's bringing her here. But she's saying, you are the one, the deliverer of the word is responsible for the fulfillment of the word. Right? The word is on you. You've given it to me, but it's on you to bring it to pass. When you and I receive a word from God, we need to remember this phrase, keep calm and carry on. If God is set out to do something in and through me, he has to bring that about. What we need to do is just be faithful. Just be faithful to do what God, we know God's called us to do, and if he has other things in mind, he will bring that to pass. Which brings me to our third point of the morning. Mary sought out the light of confirmation for her circumstances. Now, this is verses 39 through 45, so let me read that to you. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried. This is after she submitted to what the angel had spoken over her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then these final words of encouragement, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Instead of Mary sitting on what transpired, and sometimes when we think we're sensing things from God or hearing things from God, sometimes our imagination, sometimes our emotions, sometimes our mind can get the best of us, especially if we're just trying to keep it to ourselves and figure it out. But Mary didn't do that. It tells us that she immediately sought out spiritual counsel concerning the word that she had received. She got ready at once, and she hurried up, and she went to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, can anybody imagine, I know they were related somehow, but can anybody imagine why she would go to them? Do you remember when the angel was telling her about what was going to happen to her? He brought up Zechariah and Elizabeth. He said, even now, the old lady Elizabeth is pregnant with child. Mary tucked that away. It's like, whoop, that's something I got to remember. And when the moment arrived for her to get some light on what was going on in her life, it tells us she immediately sought out the people who would quite likely best understand what she might be dealing with. Where did she turn? She turned to Zechariah and Elizabeth, trusted spiritual people who had their own encounter with God that was beyond the natural flow of things. When Mary goes to them, according to the way I read it here, Mary doesn't even get a chance to tell them what's happened to her. She doesn't even get a chance. She simply gets in the place, what it says here, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, I'm assuming when it says she greeted Elizabeth, it's like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, that kind of thing. Not telling her old story. And in this moment, in verse 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb had a dance, right? The baby started dancing. Something's happening here. There's some leaping, some things taking place. Now, to me, that indicates that there was something supernatural going on here. It wasn't a normal kicking of a child. There was something taking place to which Elizabeth recognized and spoke those words of favor over Mary. As I said, Mary, I don't think it doesn't record for us that she's even said anything yet. Mary went to those who believed that for God nothing is impossible. They confirmed that God was doing what was impossible for man, but totally possible for God. They brought encouragement to her by commending her for her belief in what God was doing. As you and I look to live in the light of God's directions for our lives, we should have people, all of us should have people in our lives that we can turn to when we're trying to confirm God's direction for us. People who are seasoned themselves in finding God's direction for their lives. I'm always interested that sometimes I hear of people that are taking steps and doing this, and I think to myself, well, I wonder where they got their advice, and so often people are getting advice from people who know nothing about finding God's will for their lives, and I'm like, well, why would you ask them? They're not in the habit of, they're certainly not abiding in God's word, right? Well, what do you think I should do? No, you want to find people in your life. You want to have people in your life that you can go to when you're looking to navigate life and find God's heart and all of that. You want to go to people who have the Word of God in their heart, and they have a way of knowing how God works. People who walk in the Word and are open to God's supernatural involvement and people who, in the phrase I used earlier, people who are able to keep calm and carry on, right? Not people, you don't want to find people who are going to freak out with you. That's not going to help you. That's not going to get you where you need to go. You need to find people who are adept at being able to find God's heart. Now, sometimes, I wrote this down because I think it's important. We want people in our life who are not just yes people. You know, I get some kind of spiritual heartburn, and I got some kind of, you know, pickled dream, and I'm going to people, wanting them to say yes to me, right? You know, I'm supposed to sell, all I have and move to the Andes, and God's going to make me a millionaire, whatever you think the vision was, right? You need to have people in your life who are able to say to you, they're contending for God's best in your life, right? There are people who are saying, you know, you may want to hold on that right there, put a hold on that, and let's see how things flesh out here, right? That's okay. That's okay. We've had, over the years, Jody and I have had plenty of people in our lives who we have gone to seek direction and guidance and whatnot, and sometimes they're like, yes, that is what God is saying. You know, move forward. You're on solid ground, right? And then there's been other times where like, yeah, maybe not. And you know what? The times I've got myself in trouble in life, and there has been several, is when I've sought no counsel. I've sought no counsel. I had this, I got to tell you this quick story, right? I can say it now because many years have passed. I could tell you the story now. I couldn't have told it to you at the time. But back in the 90s, which doesn't seem all that long ago to me, but they tell me it was quite a long time ago. I got this harebrained idea. And I thought for sure it was God speaking. And it was that we were to leave Pioneer Christian Fellowship and move to the state of Wyoming. Yeah. And I'll tell you how harebrained my idea was, right? So this church was in a town in Wyoming called Buffalo, Wyoming. Right at the foothills of the Bighorn Mountains. Was absolutely beautiful, right? And it was a Four Square church, which is similar to Elam and the full gospel type church. And Jody and I snuck out there, away from you folks. We snuck out there. We get out there. We preach at this place. They hold a meeting right after the service. So I said, we want you to come. Well, now I'm in trouble. So I said to my wife, I said, what do you think? We doing it? And she looked at me. I'll never forget this. She looked at me and said, if you can guarantee me that God is saying that we're supposed to do this, I'm with you. But if you can't guarantee me that, I'm not. So we come back to Arcade. We're hanging out here in Arcade. And I was having some quiet time with the Lord. And I just knew in my inner... Now, I haven't talked to anybody about this. I'm not seeking counsel like I should, right? I'm just thinking, I'm going to duck out the side door and we're going to go out and have fun in Wyoming, right? So all this is flowing, and I'm sitting by myself with the Lord and remembering what my wife said. And I'm saying in my deepest part of my soul, I know I have not heard the voice of God about this. This is the voice of Jeff. But I really want to do it. So I'm this one sales pitch after another, you know. Hey, it's Buffalo. We live in Wyoming. Buffalo, Wyoming. It must be the Lord. Right? You know how we do it, right? Many years goes by, right? I came to my better senses in that moment, and God definitely wasn't speaking a clear word about that. And so we stayed put, right? Which is what you do when you don't have a clear word from God. Stay steady, keep calm, and carry on, right? Many years later, I was reading a book written by a guy by the name of Eugene Peterson. It was an autobiography of his life. Eugene Peterson is kind of a theologian in charismatic circles and whatnot. And I was reading about his life, and he happened to grow up in Montana. And chapter four of the book, I remember the chapter because God used it to talk to me. And as it's called, the name of the book is called The Pastor. And I'm reading the book, and it's all cool. I'm hearing about his early life and so forth and so on. I get to chapter four. And in chapter four, he says, I noticed in our small church in Montana, there were a lot of pastors who came and went. And he said, the Lord showed me years later that they were there not because God had sent them there, but they wanted to hunt and fish. I remember chapter 4. Right? We seek out good counsel. And when we do that, it keeps our lives from going off the rail. God has lights that he wants to help line up for us, right? And one of those lights is making sure that we're putting stuff out there for others to speak into. I'm going to ask Scott and the worship team to come back to the platform. Mary was on solid ground when the angel visited her. She had the light of God's word in her heart. She had God speak to her personally. And she also knew the blessing of having others be able to confirm what God was doing in her life. You and I are living in times somewhat similar to the time Jesus came the first time. It would, like it served Mary well, it would serve us well in these days to have the light of God's word coursing through our hearts. It would be good for us in these days to lean into the Holy Spirit with ears that are eager to hear what he would speak to us. And it would be good for us to be seeking out relationship with other people who likewise have a heart after God, so that they can also be used by God to speak into our lives. God is more than able to guide us, to lead us, to direct us. And while our story may not contain, it will not contain, giving birth to the Messiah, God has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives, and we would be best, our lives would be best served by seeking his direction for our lives. I'm going to invite you to stand. I don't know how many of you know, but Scott wrote this song. We sang it last week about following the star. He is the light of the world. He himself is light. He has brought us light. He has given us ample means to find direction for our lives. None of us should be walking in darkness. None of us should be, stumbling through life, wondering, where is God? He has given us his light in so many ways. But that does not mean that you and I are taking advantage of it. So I encourage you this morning. I pray for you this morning. I pray for me this morning that we would walk in the light of God's word, that we would lean into the gift of Holy Spirit, who Jesus said was here to remind us and reveal to us what God's purposes and plans are. Let's sing together now this song, and then I'll close this out with a final prayer.
Night hides the way, fear clouds my vision, I stumble and stray, lost in confusion, but I hear your voice through the blindness. You say just do the step, may be painful. There is a light I can follow. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Begin pearl stringing their own necklace, Lord. That they would go to your word in such a way that they would understand a story, a verse, a reference, a metaphor, an analogy that would be like a pearl to them. And after gleaning many of them and stringing them together, we have something, Lord, that brings reference to our world, to our life. I pray that every one of us here, Lord, would have your word in our heart like that. I pray that you'd give every one of us spiritual ears to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And I pray you'd give every one of us people who are trusted bearers of your word themselves, who are able to speak into our lives. We thank you for Mary's story. We thank you for the outcome of all of that and the change that it's made in our lives personally and our world as a whole, Lord. May we be among the legacy of people who are following you with our lives. Lead us, we pray, guide us, even this week ahead, as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.